If you've got your Bibles, go to Joshua chapter 21. We started weeks ago, God teaching us what it takes if you're ready to move on. And folks, well, we know, I don't see a lot of fresh faces. In fact, I'm not for sure I see anybody that's here. Yes, I did turn on my mic. Thank you for reminding me. Let me double check now, though. You've made me frightened. There's too many switches. It's working. Leave me alone. We've been talking about, in this room, you know, there's some of us that we've had situations in our past, we've gone through some things, sometimes our fault, and us, most of the time it's our fault, but sometimes it's somebody else's fault, and we need to learn how to move on. You know me, I'm not going to, when we've said it, nobody here is going to say, man, it's time for you to move on, because we don't know the level of your hurt. We don't know how deeply that wound goes. But there'll come a time when you realize, man, I need to just move on. How do you do that? How do you make that move? Well, Joshua, that book called Joshua is a whole history lesson on how God got His people who were wandering around out there in the wilderness for 40 years and how He got them to move on. Now, the first several chapters, I made you rehearse every week. Won't make you do that now, but I'd love for you to give me one. You just can't give me chapter one because you've done that every time we've done it, which is one of my favorites. But give me another one. Something we learned from those first several 12 or so chapters of Joshua that taught us how to move on. Consecrate yourself, because tomorrow God's going to do great things. And that word consecrate, we said, you could almost define it with the word that rhymes with it is concentrate. Man, we have so much junk in our lives, so much noise. If we could just simplify our lives and focus on doing what God wants us to do and doing it the way God wants us to, man, God would do amazing things. We've seen it in this place. We've seen it. We've seen it when people have tried and changed their life and said, we're going to try to live right and do the next right thing. We've watched God do amazing things. 3 years sobriety, restoring marriages, receiving children back from CPS. I mean, and starting new businesses, recovering from addiction. There's all kinds of good things that can happen if you consecrate yourself to the Lord. All right, now we got toward the end of the book, though. We got to this place. You remember the chapter? I never can remember what chapter it was. When God told, is it 13? Yeah. God, in Joshua 13, God tells Joshua, said, you're old. You got lots of work still to do. And so that was the second half of the book. And so there were some things we learned, like there's still a lot of work to do. So we need to move on. You decide when, but when you're ready, the instructions from God are here. But do you remember what else He told them? What else did He do? In chapter 14, what did He say? How do you move on? If you're going to move on, you got to do it wholeheartedly. Boy, no halfway measures. Oh, I think I'll try this. Maybe this will work. No. No, maybe so, I think, or I'll try. It's you do or you don't. You wholeheartedly give yourself to the Lord. Wholeheartedly you approach the work in that plan. You remember what it said in chapter 15, 16, 17, 18? You remember what we said? No, that's right before the place for mercy. How long are you going to wait? Maybe you're not ready to move on, but the question God asked them was, how long are you going to wait before you do what I've told you to do? How long are you going to wait before you get from me what I promised to give you? Some of us sitting here are forever saying, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to do this. One of these days I'm going to do that. One of these days I'm going to do this. One of these days I'm going to do that. And it just never gets around to one of those days. God wants to know, how long are you going to wait? Chapter 20, if you're going to move on, make room or have room for mercy. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. And we had some serious discussion a couple of weeks ago about not taking that and applying it across the board to the point that some of us were damaged again. There is, God gives us right, and God gives us responsibility to not cast our pearls before swine and not give what is sacred to the dogs. You have a right. You have a right to protect yourself from those evildoers. But there's other folks maybe in your life you just need to forgive. Maybe you just need to show some mercy. And in my life, I have received such mercy from so many people, from God and so many others. It's right for me to be reminded, if I'm going to really move on in my life, I've got to start to show some mercy. All right, chapter 21. Chapter 21 is where we are tonight. Let's read it till we hit the spot that teaches us the principle that I want us to notice. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, "The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock." What's the significance of that word, "Moses told you to give us"? What's been different for everybody else? You had to fight for it. God said, "I've given you this land, but you've got to go get it." Now, this bunch of folks, now who are these folks? Make sure you notice. They're the Levites. They come and say, "You're supposed to give us some cities. You're supposed to give us some pasture land. You're supposed to give us this land." Why? Now, some of you have been Bible readers a long time. You tell us why. Why are these folks different? I'm sorry?
They were the lawkeepers, the Levites.
These were the... Levites were the tribe of the priests and the folks that were going to take care of the tabernacle. They would be the ones who would break it down and move it all together. They weren't busy fighting. What were they busy doing? Serving in the tabernacle, making sure sacrifices got made, making sure all those offerings were made. You got sin offerings and atonement offerings and wave offerings and heave offerings. And I'm not even going to talk about what a heave offering was. I mean, they got all these fellowship offerings. All that kind of stuff the priests were doing, the Levite tribe was taking care of, while everybody else was fighting. So the Levites come and say, "Okay, give me." Now immediately, it doesn't say, and so I'm not saying they said this, I'm saying what could be said. When the Levite shows up and says to Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and says, "Hey, give me. Moses commanded, give me." What could Reuben and Simeon and Judah and Dan and Naphtali and Gad and Asher and Issachar and Zebulun and Ephraim and Manasseh and Benjamin, what could they have said? "Moses dead. Tough luck. That contract ran out when he died." Or they could say, "We had to fight for it. Why don't you?" They could have said, "I'm not going to give you my share. Now, Benjamin may give you some, but that's not... No. I think they did it, folks. They just heard it. So the Israelites allotted the Levites, verse 8, these towns and their pasture lands as the Lord had commanded through Moses. I love this thought. They're all in this together. And the people that fought the battle are no more important than the folks that carried the tabernacle. Just as surely as the dad who swings the sword is no more important than the mom who bakes the beans and the cornbread, right? Everybody had, remember, find your place, do your thing. The Levites were doing their things. Now here's what struck me. I'm not telling you this is a commandment of it. I'm telling you this is how it struck me when I looked at this. He's teaching us when it's ready for us to move on, we've got to be ready to make room. And I'm going to say it in a funny way. Make room for God. Well, how do you... I hear people say, "Well, you need to make room for God in your life." Are you kidding me? The only reason you're alive is God. God is your life, so you might ought to make Him your life. Does that make sense? But it means make room for God. We get started trying to rebuild our lives and we forget God. What do we focus on? When you're trying to rebuild your life, Money. What do you focus on when you're trying to, when it's money, and that's what we focus on, when you're trying to rebuild your life? When my life was reset to zero, and I got that first job and that truck stop at $5.25, I think they paid me $5.25. Minimum wage is $5. I got an extra 25 cents because I worked the graveyard shift. And I worked the graveyard shift so I wouldn't see anybody I knew. I was so ashamed of what I'd done. But I got that $5.25. What's real easy when you're making $5.25? Man, that's all the money I got. I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of me. Now, I didn't have a family to take care of, but I had some things I wanted to take care of. I like to eat a hamburger now and again. I like that cell phone I had. I like being able to put gas in that car. So I could have, and I'm glad somebody taught me better. My mother and dad taught me this chapter is right, that you make room for God. Now, what I mean by that is when you start to rebuild your life and you're talking, we're going to talk finances for a little while. When you start rebuilding your life and you're getting that job, you're starting a business, you're working minimum wage, you're working for a temp agency, or you got a brand new job, what you do is you don't let the obligations or the increased opportunities make you forget that you put first. You take first of what you've been given by God and give to Him. Make room for God, y'all. Start there. Why? Number one reason? Because God requires it. There's no discussion. God requires it. You want to serve God? You want to obey God? You want to move on in your life and please God? Then you better remember to honor God with what you make. That's not just honor God in the way you live. That's right. But you honor God with what you make. These people had nothing unless Israel gave it to them. They couldn't fight the battle. They were carrying the tabernacle. You can't whip somebody with a tabernacle pole. You know? You're unfolding the tent, you're not going to have time to get ready for war. You've got to take care of your responsibility. Find your place, do your thing. Remember, we talked about that. They've got a place. You know, when you start to rebuild your life, when you start to move on, you are required by God to honor Him with your substance. Now, I'm going to make you do some work tonight. Put your finger in 21, and then I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And this will no means be an exhaustive study. But folks, like some, for some of us who are just getting started, you need to read this. 1 Corinthians 16. If you got a good Bible, it's on page 1774. If you're just trying to get started, like some of us are, find red letters. Turn to the right until you find red letters, and then keep going to the right. If you hit red letters in Revelation, you've gone too far, back up. All right? 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to let everybody get there. We'll start in verse 1. A letter written to a church just like this one. A letter written to folks just like us. Folks who'd been, and don't hold up your hand. Well, you can hold up your hand if you want to, because we know it's true. We don't have many visitors, so we just say, we got some drunkards in here. We got some folks that have done some horribly immoral things. We've had some folks do some shameful, mean, hurtful things to other people. Those are these kind of folks. In fact, Paul will write to them and say, some of you were like this. Now, thank God Jesus washed you. Thank God Jesus saved you. Thank God Jesus sanctified you. And don't we thank God that He did that for us? He wrote this letter to these people and said, now about the collection for God's people. Collection? Yeah, there's a collection for God's people. Do what I told the churches, Galatian churches to do. Now hang on a second. When he says, do what I told them to do, what kind of impression do you get there? I would really like for you to consider if maybe you thought it was possible, like if you had, you know, maybe... What does he mean? The man who gave these people the gospel, the man who God gave life through this man said, do what I told those other churches to do. Well, what was that? on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. I didn't write this. He did. He said we're supposed to set aside a sum of money. Now, what is a sum of money? It's some money. I don't care how you spell it. Some money. You set aside some money in keeping with his income. There it is. If you've got an income, you set it aside. Now look what it was. Saving it up. Now, if you save it up, implies what?
You don't spend it.
You don't spend it. What you give, your sum money, is not money that you have left over at the end of the month. Okay, hang on. How many times have you started the month with, you get paid, and I know you, I love you. I do. You know I do. I love you. I do. But I've heard us talk. I've seen us do it. We get paid at the first of the month, or we get paid on payday, or at this time of the year, bless your hearts, you get an income tax refund, and what goes through your brain? I got money. I got to spend it. I got to spend it. And your brain starts popping with all these things you want, man. I got to do this. I got to do this. And who's standing somewhere? But when you're holding the check, who's standing right next to you? Your kids. And anybody else who knows you got a check. And what are they wanting? Give me. Oh, and I'm telling you, I love you, but some of you feel like if you disappoint your children, their souls are going to be lost and you're going to go to hell for making your children upset. I promise you, you can disappoint your children and they will not die. If you let them have a house over there, a roof over their head, you let them have clothes, you give them a warm and a peaceful place to live where they're loved and cared for, I guarantee you, they don't have to have the latest wiggly, jiggly, sparkly, shimmer junk. That's going to last how long? You've done it. You spent all that, and I love you. I do love you. But you spent all that money on Christmas, and you looked around. If you got little kids, you looked around in a minute, and they're playing with a pasteboard box. I promise you, you don't have any money. Don't spend all that money. I know people who, and I don't know. I know people, though, that have babies. I do know. What did I say? I don't know. I know this. I did it, and I've seen my children do it. I've seen other people do it to their children. You got a baby that's like that, and they have Christmas or they have a birthday, and you give them presents. Give me a break. Don't give them presents when they don't know what a present is. Buy them some diapers. You gotta. And if you want to wrap it and they can tear into, okay, they're not. They're gonna go, whoa! They don't know what it is anyway. Isn't that the truth? Give them a box. Give them a box. Go get. I tell you what. You want to freak them out, really please them. Well, you got little kids. Go find a refrigerator box somewhere, dude. Don't wrap it up. You can't afford that wrapping paper. But man, get you a newspaper. Get the Sunday Funnies, man. Get the Sunday Funnies. $2 will get you a paper. A guy stands right down here and would love the business. And take the colored funnies and pasteboard and cover that box. And they tear into that. What is it? It's a castle. It's a fort. It's an ark where Noah gathered all the animals. It's the tabernacle where you went before. I mean, you can do all kinds of things with a box. Now, I've said enough. That probably won't be the last I say. But we end up with more month than we have money. Because we spend it on stuff that we don't need. You heard me. You spend it on stuff you don't need. This is me resisting. Okay. I had something else I wanted to say on that, but I'm not. It says saving it up. That means you take it first, folks. That's what saving it up means. You got it, so you put it aside. They gave me that $60 check, and I'm an example of nothing. You hear me? I'm an example of nothing. My life proves I'm an example of nothing. But man, I was trying to rebuild my life, and I'd get that check for $60 or $100. I didn't have a bank account. I did not have a bank account. There was no reason to have a bank account. You can't. They won't let you open a minimum of $100, and I didn't have $100. So what I did is I'd go to the bank. I'd go to the bank where my mother used to work, and a lady there who knew me would cash that check for me. And I'd take out of that cash, I'd take a percentage. And I won't tell you what my percentage was, because I don't act like I'm trying to bind it on you. But I took a percentage out of that and put it in an envelope and set it aside. So that on Sunday when I went to church, feeling ashamed for what I'd done, afraid somebody's going to say something to me because of what I'd done, I still went to church and I'd put that money in that plate. In our case, it'd be these baskets over here. I'd put it there on Sunday because I'd saved it up. I'm not the example of that. That's what's required, folks. That's what the Bible teaches. If you're not doing it, let me encourage you to do what God tells you to do. You want to move on in your life? You start somewhere like that. It doesn't have to be. And people, if you've gone to church somewhere, they've talked about the tithe. Well, the New Testament doesn't talk about a tithe. Okay? I don't mind the word. I use the word a lot because of the principle that's applied. But it's not about a certain percentage, but set you a percent. Set you a percent and say, out of every bit of money I get, I'm going to take this much money and I'm going to save it up so I can have some money for Sunday. And you put it in these baskets. Number one, making room for God that way is required. Second thing it is it's responsible. It's just a responsible thing to do. Let's use our place as an example, okay? I love having electric lights. Right? I love the fact that that heat is running. I love the fact that in the summertime we got air conditioning. And if it wasn't for that sign, some folks wouldn't find us. So I like that. I like the fact that we've got money to buy Bibles. Old Chuck, 30 seconds after he became a brother of ours in the Lord, 30 seconds after he was born in God's family, I asked him, I said, have you got a Bible? He said, yeah, but I can't understand it. So I said, I got one you can understand. And we give everybody that becomes a child of God in this place, we give them a Bible. I'm glad we do that. But you know what that takes? You know, you got a house. What does it take for these lights? It takes some money. What does it take for that heater? What about the rent for this place? You got to rent your house. We got to rent this place. Let's don't talk about pizzas on Wednesday night or Cokes and Dr. Peppers. And why we have Big Red, I have no idea.
Yeah.
That is. And all this table over here been drinking Big Reds. That's something. Big Red should be forbidden, but if I ever get in charge, we'll do that then. But the point is, you know what that costs? That costs some money. So now, here's what you can do. You can say, well, there's people in there, they can afford that. I understand that. And we're going to talk about that principle here in a second. But I also know if it's me eating it and my kids drinking it, I should share. It is only responsible in to share with the providing for that. Is that not right? Certainly we're not going to be people that say, well, I'm going to let everybody else take care of me. No. If you have income, then you want to do what is required. You want to do what is responsible. But it's not just responsible. That's a good word, though, isn't it? It's responsible to pay your light bill. Now, the cool thing is, it's not any one of us has to pay it. All of us get to pay it. So when you divide the light bill up by us, it's not all that much. But it's not only responsible, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to have some money on Sunday so you can give it to the Lord. Because it's not going to me. It's not going to somebody. It's going to the Lord. Now, the Lord will distribute it. Are anybody in here, ever benefited from somebody sharing with them money that had something to do from somebody in this church or officially this church. Okay, why don't you look around? Look at this. Do we know the benefit of that? So it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to help somebody sometimes. It's the right thing to do. You got your Bibles? I want you to stay in 1 Corinthians because we're going to come back to that in a second. But you people that have been reading the Bible forever, all right? And I looked right at John. Sorry, John. Didn't mean to, John. Didn't mean to. You're far from old. You're a young man. God tells through James, God tells a church, just like our church, He says, you want to practice pure religion that's undefiled, that is no fake, there's no shame before God, is you help, visit, support, care for widows and orphans. Now, we don't have a lot of widows. And we don't have, thank God, a lot of orphans. But are there some of our families that have to do without the benefit of a mate because the mate did them wrong? Do we have some children that suffer the consequences of parents who did not do right? Yeah. It's not just responsible for us to do what needs to be done for light and heat and rent, but it's right to do it because it helps other people. There are folks in this room that during tough times need a little help with their rent. There are some folks in here that needed some help with some gas money and some help with some bills, help with some groceries. It's right for us to care about them. So that's why you save that money up so you'll have some money, right? All right. It's not only, and I'm trying to, these came to me while I was driving back from work today. It's required, it's responsible, it's right. But folks, it's also reasonable. Now, here's what I want to show you. Go to 2 Corinthians. You in 1 Corinthians? Turn one book over. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 8 and 9 talks about this. I want you to look at chapter 9 first. Chapter 9. Look at verse 6. Remember this. Okay, I didn't say that. He did. So remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I didn't write that. God did. And God said it's something we need to remember. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Did you see it? Not reluctantly or under compulsion because somebody's banging at them, watching them. What are you going to give today? No, it's not about that. For God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Why should we give? What's so reasonable at giving? Well, if I give, man, then I won't have. What does he say? What does he say to remember? If you give, God will bless you. Keep reading. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now we'll get to that last part in a second, but it's just reasonable, y'all. I know. And when I say I know, I'm telling you, when the button hit reset for me, I can remember, and I told you the story. I remember our little place where that truck stop where I worked had a hamburger deal. Man, you could have a double cheeseburger with fries and a drink for $5. Now, I worked there, and I could have done what a lot of those folks did. I didn't do that. I was trying to rebuild my life. You're trying to rebuild your life? You don't cut corners with God, do you? I'm trying to rebuild my life. I done messed up with God. I didn't want to mess up again. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay. And I paid my $5. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. No customers. I paid my $5. I got to do the cooking. I cooked it like I wanted to. I got the special. And oh, it was good. Josh could only wish his hamburgers were as good as that one. Man. I mean, I thought, the best hamburger I've ever had. I came home. I was having to live with my parents, right at 50 years old, and having to live with your parents. And I came home and told them, I said, man, I had the best hamburger. And I told them, I said, it only cost me $5. My dad wasn't being mean. My dad wasn't being hateful, grouchy, grumpy. He was not even trying to teach me anything. He just, under his breath, he said, and I heard him, he said, man, you had to work a whole hour to buy that hamburger. Boy, it stuck in my head. All of a sudden, money changed my mind. I love you. But you go to McDonald's, you know what you can do with what you spend at McDonald's, at the grocery store? Those cigarettes you buy, you know what you can do with that $5 or so? Do you know what you could do with that kind of money? You go out and you go to a restaurant and you spend 20, 30. Some of us do. And I'm not griping at you if you do. But you spend that 40 or 50 bucks on a restaurant, you know what that money could do? Man, my brain started working on that when I was making $5 an hour. And it's real easy at that point to say, man, I can't afford to give anything. I can't give to the Lord because if I give, then I won't have. God just made a promise, makes it reasonable. And we understand it when it's seed. That's where the word reason comes. If I've got seed and I'm sowing for my crop, what do? Am I chintzy with the seed? I'll plant one here, one here. No, what do? Ever here, get it. You plant lots of seed because... Yeah. Hey, you be responsible, you be reasonable, but you be faithful, but you be reasonable. A little bit of gift to God comes back. He says, remember this, you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. I didn't write it, He said it. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. So when it's time for you to move on, when you're trying to rebuild your life and move on, make room for God in how you take care of some money. All right, last thing and I'm done. I love this. He said it, verse 11, you'll be made rich in every way. So, now, rich! And I tell you, I'm not the guy on the TV. Watch it. If you'll send money into our program, we'll lay our hands on the TV and we'll make sure that you have new furniture for your house and new carpet. I heard the guy say it. He said, if you'll send in a gift of... And he gave some amount. I don't remember what it was. And place your hand on your TV screen. We'll pray for you. There's somebody with a back injury giving $400 right now. You're going to get new furniture. Well, man, I can't tell you that. I don't know. I could use a new couch. Place where I've been sitting is kind of getting worn. Maybe I ought to just move to the other end. Balance that, right? That'd take me changing a habit. That'd be hard to do. He's not talking about... He said rich in every way. I know we all hold kind of fantasies about, man, if I won that lottery, or man, if I got this big check, I like to play that game too. He's not talking about rich that way necessarily. Now, I know some people who've been blessed. I know some people whose lives have been blessed financially because they never were stingy in the giving of their finances. But he said, you'll be rich in every... That's the reward. And that's the last point. There's a reward to this thing. You make room for God with some money because there's a reward involved. It's not just required, and it's not just right. It's not just... responsible. It's not just reasonable. It is rewarding. There's something good coming of this. You're going to be rich in every good way. And so that you can be generous on every occasion. What I love next is that he says it will result in thanksgiving to God. You want to make God happy? You want to please God? Show Him you're a cheerful giver. Share. Share with God's people. Now, how you do that? Well, sometimes it's right to take care of responsibilities that we have. Lights and heat and such. Cokes and pizzas. Sometimes, well, I'll give you an example. Won't tell you who. Won't tell you who. Will not tell you who. Will not tell you who. Can't get it out of me. Fella here handed me an envelope. Had some cash in it. Somebody had helped him with a car repair. He brought me some money when he could, and he said, "Hey, listen, the next time somebody needs something, I want you to help them." I stuck it in my desk. I'm telling you, it was not a week. I haven't even told him that yet. It wasn't a week later, somebody walked in and needed money to get a van running. What did I give them? Look what God did. And so how did the folks that were fixing the van feel? Woohoo! They were thanking God. That fella gave generously because somebody had helped him, and it ended up helping somebody else, and that made those folks give thanks to God. How did God feel about the deal? How did God feel about the deal? Pleased, didn't he? That's it. I'm done. I know when we started meeting, it's been almost 6 years, is that right? It's hard to believe. Almost 6 years. I remember when they started to move here, we were using an old room, upstairs room at a warehouse down by the Boom Boom Cabaret. It's called something else now. And don't yell it out because I don't want to. I started when I'm not going to say that. So shut up. Bad teacher. We had to move out of that place. We went to looking for a place. They found this one. And they told us what the rent would be on this. And I thought, there's no way. I mean, we had like 20 people showing up. And none of us 20 were very well healed.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're going to do it. And they said, and we want to... How much... The guy asked. The guy that was doing this... His name's Dennis Wilson, by the way. His picture's over here somewhere. I hate him. I love him. I love him. I do, and he knows it. But he said to the guy, he talked to him, he said, well, what would it be to rent both of these places together? Whoa. We didn't have enough people to fill up. I'm serious. The first time we had a Wednesday night class up here, it was two rows of chairs right up here at the front. There weren't any tables, no pizza, and you people weren't here. And he said, well, what if we get both? Because we'll need classrooms. Classrooms for what? We had three kids coming? Maybe four? Oh, that's right. He had six. And one more, you know, and that was it. I'm telling you, we got to put the kids' class in that closet. That's where it belongs. I said no. And he's asking me. I said nope. I said we just do it in here. We just do a children's Bible hour kind of thing, and then have a teaching. Well, no. And I'm saying no. I'm saying no. He said we got to do it. I said no, we can't do it. He said we got to do it. I said no, we can't do it. He signed the deal for both of these places. Guess what? We've never come close to even missing a rent payment. Not even one time come even close to missing a utility payment. Not one time in 6 years. In fact, guess what? Now we provide supper for 60, 70, 80. How many ever people show up here on a Wednesday night? I don't know. I don't count them. Don't care to know. God knows, and that's enough. People cram in here on Sunday morning. Folks had to bring their own chair from next door a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I love that. Bring your own chair church, man. That's a great title. We put that right under that sign. I wouldn't have ever believed it. Look what God did. Because some folks that have been blessed by God financially give generously. But not just them. There's some folks, and I've had some of you do it, get a little money. God blessed you with a job, or God blessed you with a sale, and you bring that envelope and you say, "Hey man, would you make sure somebody gets this that needs it?" And it happens over and over and over again. And 6 years later, we're still providing food for hungry folks, transportation for folks that are stranded, place to live for folks that would be homeless otherwise, food for hungry folks, and teaching and salvation for lost people. Because somebody, a lot of bodies, saved up some money. Let's make room for God. Let's pray. Father, thanks for tonight. Your blessing on these folks. And I'd ask God, and you've already done it, and I just beg you, God, to. There are people in here that have shared and blessed others by giving, and some of them haven't had any money, and they've given it anyway. And they've given it with the right kind of heart. Would you bless them? Bless them with health. Bless them with peace in their homes. Bless them financially. Bless them to keep that old car running. Bless them to find that new job. Bless them, God. Bless them as you promised. And help us all move on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all. Very good chapter.